For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. U.S. FBI Director James Comey has confirmed that investigations are taking place into links between the Russian government and the Trump campaign. He made the disclosure on the first day of congressional hearings, which are also examining U.S. intelligence leaks. From Washington, Daniel Wrenches reports.
The FBI Director James Comey is publicly declaring the existence of an investigation into Russian efforts to interfere in the 2016 U.S. presidential election.
And that includes investigating the nature of any links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government, and whether there was any coordination between the campaign and Russia's efforts.
Comey also said there was no evidence that President Obama had ordered a wiretap of Trump Tower during the election, as Donald Trump has repeatedly claimed in a series of tweets.
The UK government has announced it will begin formal Brexit negotiations on March 29th. Prime Minister Theresa May will write to the European Union on that date, officially triggering Article 50 of the Lisbon Treaty. The battle for western Mosul has pushed an estimated 180,000 civilians to flee in recent weeks. And reports say the intense fighting has left at least 750 civilians dead. Our U.S. correspondent Mary McCarthy has more.
It's been just a month since Iraqi forces mounted the battle to gain control of the western sector of Mosul, but the fighting has taken a heavy toll on civilians. The government forces have been using airstrikes and heavy artillery to clear dense urban areas, and reports say that residents have been pushed to flee their homes at a higher rate than during earlier operations in the battle to gain Mosul from Islamic State militants, which began in October. Reports citing locals say many of them are fleeing because of the violence, but also simply because many of them no longer have access to food and water.
Russian and Japanese foreign ministers and defense ministers have met in Tokyo to discuss bilateral and regional issues amid a thaw in Russian-Japan relations. During the meeting, it was announced that Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe will meet with Vladimir Putin next month in Russia. Our Moscow correspondent Julia Lyubova reports.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov met his Japanese counterpart Fumio Kishida in Tokyo for talks, during which they were expected to discuss various issues including territorial disputes and economic cooperation. The Russian Defense Minister said he plans to discuss prospects of bilateral military cooperation and ways of responding to international terrorism with his Japanese counterpart. Japan and Russia agreed in December to launch talks on joint economic activities on disputed islands. The islands in the Western Pacific are called the Northern Territories in Japan and the Southern Kuriles in Russia. Julia Lyubova, Moscow.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much, Rebecca Foster. Spring has sprung here in the UK. It is Monday, March 20th, 2017. Hope you had a good weekend. I really do. This is the start of a brand new week. Got a terrific lineup for you this Monday. Let's get on with it then. This is your Richie Allen Show, The People's Show, broadcasting on davidicke.com.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is The Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. It's The Richie Allen Show. Brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Yeah, and we're on Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, alternatecurrentradio.com, and TuneIn Radio as well. Gareth Porter, the award-winning journalist and author, joins me this hour. We'll be talking about today's hearing on links between Trump and his team and Russia. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about US policy in the Middle East and the Iran nuclear deal. What might happen to that? Gareth Porter is outstanding. He's on the program this hour. And in the second hour, Dr. Rima Labo, MD, joins me. It's been a long time since Rima was on. Wonderful woman. We'll be talking about a big story in yesterday's Telegraph about the rollout of a vaccine for meningitis B. More on that as we go. Rima Labo, MD, joins me in the second hour. You can tweet me It's at Richie Allen Show. You can email richie@richieallen.co.uk. Good evening. How are you? Had a great day yesterday. Hi to Tez, my mate Tez, and to Dino as well. Went to see Salford Red Devils beat Castleford Tigers. I should have said the mighty Salford Red Devils beat the Castleford Tigers 13-12 at the AJ Bell Stadium in Salford. Great afternoon out. It was. Had a great time. Hope yours was good. I mentioned that earlier on. Let's crack on. Lot to get through on this particular programme. Just to let you know, Dana Durnford joins me tomorrow to talk about Fukushima. And Gerald Celente, who's on his way to Ireland real soon, joins me tomorrow to talk about that and much more besides as well. Got a good week for you, I think. Good old week as we approach 6 minutes past the hour. Well. Before we go any further, I'm always doing this, building the drama. Just want to say, I heard from David earlier. He's had a brilliant time in Slovenia. The talk went incredibly well on Saturday. He flies to Iceland tomorrow ahead of the event there on Saturday. And then he's in Zagreb the following Saturday. All the information is on theworldwidewakeup.com. Absolutely brilliant times for David and his team. Now, the mainstream media covering the open hearing, a very rare thing, of the Congressional Intelligence Committee investigating possible links between the Trump campaign and Russia. Now, FBI Director James Comey has confirmed for the very first time, I know you heard this on news, but we're going to do it again. Comey has confirmed that the FBI is investigating alleged Russian government interference in the election last year. That includes investigating possible links between individuals in the Trump campaign and the Russian government, and whether there was coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia. Here's Comey.
I have been authorized by the Department of Justice to confirm that the FBI, as part of our counterintelligence mission, is investigating the Russian government's efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. And that includes investigating the nature of any links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government, and whether there was any coordination between the campaign and Russia's efforts.
Now, I'm going to tell you before you ask, because I know you work for a living and you're only getting in from a day's work. And I know you're screaming going, Richie, was there any mention of WikiLeaks and Vault 7? No, there wasn't. The Vault 7 leaks that confirmed what we've already known, that Party A can make a hack look like it came from Party B, like a false flag. No, there was no mention of this today. None. Because as far as I can tell, and I'm no fan of Trump, there is no evidence that anybody from Russia was involved in influencing the US election. Now, Comey said the investigation was very complex. It's another way of saying that we don't know what we're doing. And he said he couldn't give the committee details that were not already publicly known. We will follow the facts wherever they lead, said Comey. And they reiterated, all of them, including NSA Chief Michael Rogers, that there is no evidence at all that Obama tapped Trump or ordered such a tapping. Now, I don't believe for a minute that Obama had anything to do with tapping Trump. Again, not because I have any time for Obama. I don't see what the logic or the point of that would be. Now, Devin Nunes is the Republican Committee Chairman. He's a big cheese. He's a huge cheese. He asked this series of questions to the director of the NSA, Michael Rogers. You ready?
So my question, as of today, Admiral Rogers, do you have any evidence that Russia cyber actors changed vote tallies in the state of Michigan?
No, I do not, but I would highlight we're a foreign intelligence organization, not a domestic intelligence organization. So it would be fair to say we are probably not the best organization to provide a more complete answer.
How about the state of Pennsylvania?
No, sir.
The state of Wisconsin?
No, sir.
State of Florida?
No, sir.
The state of North Carolina?
No, sir.
The state of Ohio?
No, sir.
So you have no intelligence that suggests or evidence that suggests any votes were changed?
I have nothing generated by the National Security Agency, sir.
Director Comey, do you have any evidence at the FBI that any votes were changed in the states that I mentioned to Admiral Rogers?
No.
Russia had no influence on the 2016 U.S. presidential election, at least as far as I can tell. What the hell do I know? I'm just an I'm an opinionated Irish guy in Manchester, and I'll always tell you when it's an opinion. Don't see it. Can't see it. Would Russia have preferred Trump over Clinton? I'm sure they would have preferred anybody over Clinton, who, along with Victoria Nuland, saw the overthrow of democracy in Ukraine, I'm sure. Now, what about the accusations against British intelligence that they somehow played a part in this?
In an effort to explain why there was no evidence supporting the president's claim that Obama had wiretapped him, the president and his spokesman, Sean Spicer, have suggested that British intelligence, through its NSA or GCHQ, wiretapped Mr. Trump on President Obama's behalf. Did you ever request that your counterparts in GCHQ should wiretap Mr. Trump on behalf of President Obama?
No, sir, nor did I. That would be expressly against the construct of the Five Eyes Agreement that's been in place for decades.
And the Five Eyes are some of our closest intelligence partners, and Britain is one of them.
Yes, sir.
Have you seen any evidence that anyone else in the Obama administration made such a request?
No, sir. And again, my view is the same as Director Comey. I've seen nothing on the NSA side that we engaged in any such activity, nor that anyone ever asked us to engage in such activity.
And if you were to ask the British to spy on American, that would be a violation of U.S. law, would it not?
Yes, sir.
Our relationship with British intelligence is one of the closest we have with any foreign services. Isn't that true?
Yes, sir.
Now, our British allies have called the president's suggestion that they wiretapped him for Obama nonsense and utterly ridiculous. Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right. So that's about the gist of it then, dear listener. You've heard the gist of it. They're looking at links between Trump campaign people and Russia. They're looking at whether or not... Well, they said categorically that Obama didn't tap Trump. But primarily, they're looking for collusion between Russia and members of Trump's team, and they're looking at evidence that Russia is hacking and interfering in US life in general. In general, right? There you go. Now, around about an hour ago, the White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer, I suppose, responded to this. This was the first official response, even though Trump was tweeting all the way through it. Utterly bizarre. When you've been observing geopolitics, geopolitical events, politics, world affairs, economics, like I have for the best part of 20 years, despite your knowledge that it's all a puppet show anyway, which it is, you still can't help feeling utterly weird when you watch what's going on social media. Anyway, over to Sean Spicer.
Investigating it and having proof of it are two different things. You look at the acting Obama CIA director said that there is smoke, but there is no fire. Senator Tom Cotton, not that I'm seen and not that I'm aware of. You look at Director Clapper, not to my knowledge. Senator Chris Coons, Democrat from Delaware, I have no evidence of collusion. I mean, there's a point at which you continue to search for something that everybody who's been briefed hasn't seen or found. I think it's fine to look into it. But at the end of the day, they're going to come to the same conclusion that everybody else has had. So you can continue to look for something, but continuing to look for something that doesn't exist doesn't matter.
Well, Stephen in Manchester tweets, how long before they find, in inverted commas, evidence of Russia interfering with Brexit? Now, that's interesting, Stephen, because at the very beginning of this process today, a number of committee members mentioned... I could have played some of this stuff, but we don't have time. But at the very beginning, before they started questioning Comey and Rogers, each committee member got to have a few minutes to have a say. And it was accusation after accusation after accusation against Russia. And they did say it. One of them said, and I don't have the audio to support this, but it is true. I can get it for tomorrow. One of them did make that point, that there's evidence to suggest that Russia is involved in the Brexit referendum and Russia is involved in other elections in Europe. And it was mentioned again, the claims by Emmanuel Macron, the centrist guy who came out of nowhere, who's favoured to become the next president of France. That was mentioned as well. I joked before, if they could get, if they thought he'd get away with it, they might, you know, charge the Russians with the assassination of Kennedy. But anyway, we'll leave that one alone. We're going to pick it up again in a few minutes with our first guest, Gareth Porter. Now, Theresa May will officially notify the European Union that the UK is intending to leave by triggering Article 50. That's going to happen a week on Wednesday, which, if my calculations are right, it is the 29th of March. The 29th. EU spokesmen and women have been saying to different media organisations the European Union was ready and waiting for the letter. Now, under the Article 50 process, talks on the terms of exit and future relations are not allowed until the UK formally tells the EU it is leaving. So once it does that, there's a two-year process. You know all of this now. And within the 2 years, they're supposed to have an arrangement made. It's supposed to be rubber stamped and signed and sealed within 2 years, 24 months. If it isn't, they fall back on World Trade Organization trading rules. That's basically it. But I'm going to play a tiny bit of audio I played on Sunday View yesterday. Listen to this. This is Blair briefly. He spoke for about 15 minutes with Andrew Marr on The Marr Show. And within that was this nugget from Tony, well, the war criminal, the mass murderer Blair.
And the issue really on Brexit is this, because, by the way, let me make it clear. There's been a referendum. That is the will of the people. If that will does not change, we'll go ahead and do Brexit.
Mm-hmm. I'll play it again for you. It's worth hearing again.
And the issue really on Brexit is this, because, by the way, let me make it clear. There's been a referendum. That is the will of the people. If that will does not change, we'll go ahead and do Brexit.
Right. If that will doesn't change, we'll go ahead and do Brexit. So don't be fooled by May writing to Tusk and all the other... I'm not going to swear today. In Brussels. Don't be fooled by that being a great positive thing. Because as I've said on this programme, and I believe it to my bones, what we're going to see in the next 6 to 8 months is we're going to see the referendum result attacked from every bloody angle. And at the risk of boring you, I've got to say this again, because nobody else making programmes like this is actually saying this. What they're going to do is they're going to attack the demographics of it. People have changed their mind. People have changed their mind. They were sold the yes vote, yes we must leave. They were sold it on a pack of lies. That's what Blair, Blair, Mandelson, all the other liars are going to be doing. That's basically their modus operandi from here on in. The result was a fake result. We know now, they are going to say, they will say, we know now that most people are unhappy with the way they voted, and given the opportunity to change their vote, they would. That's all coming down the line. It really is. The arrogance of Blair. And Andrew Marr just sat there like the moronic, dreadful presenter that he is and didn't challenge him. Anyway, that's Article 50. So 2 years from the 29th of March, allegedly. Now here's one that I'm not going to spend too much time on now, but I want to get into this during the week. Google's European boss has apologised to, among other companies, Marks and Spencer. They've apologised because adverts from major firms have appeared next to extremist content on its YouTube site. Now, Marks and Spencer are not the only one to pull its online ads. Audi, RBS and L'Oreal are among some of the big firms. Google's European chief, Matthew Britton, promised to review the firm's policies and strengthen enforcement. This is all about YouTube and monetization. Content creators, including us, put some ads on our interviews and we gain some monetization by doing that. This is a direct attack on that. I've been warning about this now for at least a year. Okay? The Times of London said, wait for this, that rape apologists anti-Semites and hate preachers were among those receiving payouts from video monetization. Rape apologists. That's disgusting, isn't it? Who could argue with it? Hate preachers, what does that mean exactly? Nobody will define what a hate preacher is. Is it somebody who totally disagrees with the foreign policies of Western governments? Or is it somebody who recommends that somebody else takes up weapons and kills innocent people? Because if it's the latter, I have no problem with anybody saying, don't put my advertisements anywhere near this guy's content. I've no problem with that. Anti-Semites, though. That's interesting, isn't it? Because anybody who questions the behaviour, the policies of the conduct of the Israeli government is being labelled as anti-Semitic. So does that mean that programmes such as this one, who talk about the Israeli question and interview men and women who are saying things about Israel that they are not allowed to say on mainstream media, does that mean our content is under threat? You better believe it does. You better believe it does. That's where this is going. And we've been talking about this, as I said, for nearly a year now. And significant numbers of our videos have been demonetized by YouTube because something in the title or something in the conversation between me and the guest is not popular, is not wanted, is anti-system in some way, and the videos have been demonetized. That's where it's all going. 21 and a half minutes past the hour. Very quick break. When we come back, my first guest, Gareth Porter, will be with me. You don't want to miss him.
Till you've heard this message. Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my new best-selling book. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk for full details. Inside, I reveal why gold could soar to $10,000 an ounce and how to make sure you own enough of the right type of gold. To get your copy dispatched today, go to newcaseforgold.co.uk now. This book will change everything you think you know about investing in gold. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk today.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Looking to arrange a mortgage? Confused by all the deals available? Let Manchester Mortgages do the work for you. Take advantage of our free mortgage review offer throughout February and March and see if we can save you money. We are whole of market brokers with access to hundreds of mortgage schemes across the UK. Call us on 0161 706 0242 or go to manchestermortgages.co.uk. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Manchester Mortgages are a trading style of mortgages for you, North West Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the doctor or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they're doing.
Traffic 2, available now at premilonpictures.co.uk.
Richie Allen.
Welcome back to the programme, broadcasting live on Alternate Current Radio, Fab Radio 2 and DavidIke.com. Do bookmark the websites of our broadcast partners, please do that. I'll be very grateful to you for it. Now, let's welcome our first guest to the programme. I've been looking forward to speaking with him all day. He is a historian, an investigative journalist, and a best-selling author. He's also an award-winning journalist. Got to make that point pretty clear. I got in touch with him last week because I wanted to talk with him about the future of the Iran nuclear deal in the light of the new Trump presidency and Trump's relationship with the Israeli government. Now, I'm going to tweet out links to our first guest books because they are outstanding. I came across him first speaking with RT a couple of years ago. Delighted that he's agreed to come on. Let's welcome to the programme Gareth Porter. Gareth, you are very welcome. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
It's an absolute honour, and I'm looking forward to talking about the Iran nuclear deal. But first of all, I've got to start with today's hearing. Do you know, I was thinking a few minutes ago, Gareth, you're a young man, but you've been around, and you've been around a lot longer than I have. Have you ever witnessed anything like what we've seen today? We have a Congressional Intelligence Committee hearing. We hear an FBI director say that he's investigating links between people working for Trump and Russia, that Russia might have influenced the US election. And all the while, Gareth, this is going on. The President of the United States is giving a running commentary on Twitter. I've never seen anything like it in my 20 years. What do you make of it?
Oh, I agree entirely. This is totally new. In the history, the political history of the United States and the history of the intelligence community's political role in the history of congressional hearings and the history of American politics as it relates to the nexus between a foreign country and American politics. This is all new political development that is extremely important and also very worrisome to anyone who has the idea that U.S. democracy is important to preserve. This is one of the many signs of the degradation of the American political system and of the executive branch as well.
Right. Well, on that then, has Trump's presidency, do you think, and the activities leading up to him becoming president, I shouldn't say activities, I should say the issues that were being talked about, some of the things he was saying about the intelligence community, and then afterwards, after he became elected, some of the extraordinary things he's been saying, is this like the straw that broke the camel's back, or that has broken the camel's back, Gareth, with respect to American people waking up to the deep state and who might be really pulling the strings and who might be calling the shots?
Well, I think this is part of a longer process that began during the campaign. After all, we have to remember that the investigation that has been leaked to the press, that is stories about the investigation by parts of the U.S. intelligence community of the Trump team and its possible linkages to Russian efforts to influence the election, supposedly, that began during the campaign itself. I mean, they were working on this as early as last summer, or early in the summer. So this, you know, has been going on. I mean, this investigation has been going on for many months, and the leaks began in January. And then picked up speed in February. And there's no doubt that that the incentive for those leaks was undoubtedly influenced by perceptions of the Trump administration and its intentions and the Trump administration's political status in terms of the possibility that one might be able to, shall we say, destabilize it. And to even raise the possibility of an impeachment process, which was already being discussed, you know, at the time that that he was inaugurated in January. So again, I just want to say this is all part of a process that began during the campaign, and which then picked up momentum after the election, of course, of Trump and the knowledge that he was going to become the next president. And clearly there was a plan to leak the information at a strategic moment after the inaugural. It began in early to mid-February. And there's no doubt in my mind that there were mixed intentions, mixed motivations on the part of people like John Brennan, the former director of the CIA in particular, who my assessment is that he was the primary mover of this effort within the intelligence community. On the record, it's clear that he began the process of pushing for an assessment that the Russians had the intention of affecting the election. And so the question is, you know, was John Brennan, among others, intending to make sure that the Trump administration would not depart from the policy toward Russia that had been established by the Obama administration, or at least parts of the Obama administration? Certainly the Pentagon and parts of the intelligence community were quite committed to the new Cold War with Russia. And it's my view, my very considered view, that this was a major reason why these leaks were made to the press about the investigation.
No doubt about it. And all roads lead to Syria here, right, Gareth? Because during the campaign, Trump was saying the sorts of things about what was happening in Syria that people like you and people like me would be very happy to hear. That US interventionism is wrong, it's been disastrous in the past. Trump was even going as far to say things like, hinting at things like, well, we might be on the wrong side here. He talked about arming jihadists. He congratulated at times what Russia was doing there. All of this was doom for those who want to continue the US interventionist policies in the Middle East, right? This is where it all begins, Syria.
Well, I think you're right that was the case in the waning months of the Obama administration, that there was still a very strong political desire on the part of the Pentagon in particular, the CIA secondarily, to continue the U.S. effort to support armed opposition to the Assad regime, and to some extent, at least, to exploit the capabilities of al-Qaeda in Syria in that regard. But I must say that it seems very clear that by November, December, January, the situation in Syria had changed so dramatically because of the defeat of the armed opposition in Aleppo. The success of the military offensive by Assad, supported by Iranian and other militias, to oust the opposition and the jihadists from Aleppo was quite successful. And I think the result of that was that the forces within the administration, who had been still very strongly committed to continuing that effort to support the armed opposition, were finally convinced that that was probably a losing proposition. I think that effort apparently was discontinued before the end of the Obama administration, sometime in January or December even. So I think that it wasn't so much Syria here that was at stake from the point of view of the Pentagon and John Brennan at the CIA. It was the Cold War with Russia more generally.
I was tweeting about you today, and I was putting information on Facebook about you. And a lot of our listeners, interestingly, were well aware of who you are and your national security expertise. Why, Gareth, why is there this desire now? And now we don't mean now today or this month or this week, but why this desire to reignite the Cold War and to create again this specter of Russia, the big threat
in the East, the new and looming national security threat. Why now? Is it about, is that linked to domestic policy? Is it linked to things they want to do domestically? Is it linked to clamping down more and more on people's freedoms? What's going on with that?
Well, it's a very important question, obviously. It is the most important question in all of this, in my view, certainly. And I do, in fact, have a very strong view that is historically grounded about why the United States really was determined. When I say the United States, I mean the most powerful organs, the most powerful organizations of the U.S. government were firmly committed to reigniting the Cold War in 2013, 2012, 2013, 2014, that they took advantage of the of what happened in Ukraine to further that end, and that the result was indeed that they managed to create a new Cold War that has enormous ramifications, as you can imagine, for the defense budget in the first place, for the interests of the military services and the Pentagon more than anyone else, but also for the CIA, which has a stake in the new Cold War with Russia, and therefore I think that one can make a very ironclad case that this new Cold War is really all about the institutional interests of some of the most powerful institutions, not just some of, I would say the most powerful institutions in this country, because they depend on having the kind of tension that we've seen pumped up over the last few years between the United States and a foreign enemy to keep their congressional appropriations at very high levels. And I can tell you that I am working on a book-length study, I have been for some time, of how this mechanism has worked over the decades, during the Cold War and since. And that pattern is very, very clear, that what makes this system operate, what makes this system go, is the necessity for periodic pumping up of the alleged threat coming from a foreign enemy. And at various times, of course, it has been the Soviet Union, it has been Iran, Iraq, and so on and so forth. But this is a constant theme in U.S. foreign and military policy, which I think can be documented very, very well.
I've had, we talk to a lot of people who you'd know well, Gareth, and people like Senator Richard Black, people like Paul Craig Roberts comes on with us quite regularly. Paul would have stronger opinions, I think, and opinions is the key word here. We like to hear from everybody, and of course the former CIA legend Ray McGovern, and
right.
they talk a lot about the Victoria Nuland, Yatsenyuk part in bringing down Viktor Yanukovych in Ukraine, and what's happened since then, and you just touched on it a second ago,
right?
And there's no doubt that, you know, another side to this, another win or another gain, not a win to use Trump speak, but another win for these people is, of course, they get to beat their own people in the United States over the head with draconian legislation, anti-free speech legislation, and so on, so on. But Senator Richard Black, Paul Craig Roberts, and Ray McGovern have all said on this program, they agree with you, by the way, they would echo what you just said there, but they would take it a step further, and they would say that they used to think this behavior was risking a serious conflict, maybe not a thermonuclear conflict, but a serious conflict with Russia and China, maybe over Iran. Now they're saying, they're beginning to think that this is the actual end game, that rather than profit from the never-ending tension with Russia, what they want, these people, is they want the conflict with Russia. What do you think?
Well, if you say they want conflict with Russia, then there's no question about that. I mean, it depends on what that means. Does it mean that the United States intends to go to war with Russia? I don't think that that is that's clear at all, and I'm not sure that my friend Ray McGovern would say that.
Yeah, he has said it here, Gareth. He has said it on this program. Yeah,
that they actually want to go to war with Russia.
But they want,
I mean, okay.
I had not
heard Ray say that, but I believe you, of course. I mean, I find it difficult to believe that that is a conscious wish. Now, you know, that of course is always a possible result of policies that may be, as I see it, are governed primarily, overwhelmingly by the desire to ensure much higher levels of appropriations than that they would get otherwise, and to ensure that the news media is constantly filled with news that is going to support the interests of those institutions. I think that's really overwhelmingly the name of this game. Now, of course, I'm not ready to say that there's no risk of war. What I'm saying is that I think that the interests that are being pursued consciously are those that have to do with the budget and with the policy of maintaining high levels of tension.
And on that theme, and I'm delighted you're on, by the way, we've got Gareth for another five, maybe just under 10 minutes. I'm going to recommend, and I'm going to tweet out where people can buy your books. Your book on the Iran nuclear deal and on Iran's historic intentions is brilliant. It is, Gareth. It's a brilliant book. I'm recommending it. And I want to touch on that in a second. Before we do that, though, so where does what's happening now then play into this, you know, anti-Russian, anti-Russian agenda in terms of because what we're seeing today is we're seeing the heads of the NSA and the FBI saying things like, you know, we're looking into ties, we're looking into allegations that Russia have basically been interfering in elections here, not only here but in France and in Europe and all of that. And there doesn't seem to be too much opposition to that, no matter how many times the press secretary for Trump, Spicer, or others come out and say, look, there's no evidence, there's no evidence, there's no evidence. It keeps coming out, it keeps being said. No mention of WikiLeaks Vault 7, which shows that, in fact, the CIA, if they wanted to, could make it look like Russia did stuff like that. It's all getting very serious, Gareth.
Right, it is very serious. I totally agree. And what we're seeing here is the result of the combination of the interests of the of the Pentagon that we've talked about already, the people in the intelligence community who did have in fact interests that were paralleling those with the Pentagon, such as specifically the former head of the CIA, who I believe is the primary ringleader of this, and the combination of those interest then has now led to a situation where you now have all of the Democrats in Congress who are lining up and using this as a stick to advance their own political interests in terms of domestic American electoral politics. And so, you know, what I see here is a kind of a meeting of two sets of vested interests that give this this whole issue a lot of momentum, and we're going to see this play out for many months into the future. I don't know how long, but obviously this is one of those vehicles that can't be stopped very easily. It's going to have to play out, and they're going to have to finally fess up and say, okay, we didn't find any evidence, because I don't think they are going to find any evidence to support the idea.
There's no doubt about that. One of the things we've discussed with people like Ray McGovern and others on this program is proxy wars. And when Ray talked about the will to engage in conflict with Russia, we talked about proxy wars, not necessarily the US and Russian and US troops going toe-to-toe in Scandinavia or anywhere else, but proxy wars over situations like Iran. Now, this is a dangerous thing, and a number of commentators believe that it looked very good pre the election in terms of what Trump was doing and saying, draining the swamp and all of that. Since then, he surrounded himself with a lot of, to quote Paul Craig Roberts, for example, Russophobic neocons. Now, many of these people would have been ramping up over the years the anti-Iranian rhetoric. How dangerous is that? Nobody knows more about the Iran nuclear deal and what led up to that than you, and I'm not buttering you up. You are an absolute expert on it. Where do you see that as a possible source of tension? I mean, if Trump, who seems to be reneging on things like I already said, he's definitely very close to Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israelis, who would love nothing more than some sort of conflict, or at least very, very, very tense situation with Iran. Of course, Russia's not going to like this. Where do you see Iran, Gareth, in this?
Well, look, I think you're right that what's happening within the Trump administration is this new power struggle between those who were interested in really reaching a kind of accommodation of some sort that would ease tensions with Russia on one hand, and neocon-oriented people, such as you suggested, who would be interested in pursuing a policy that is more in line with Netanyahu's views. I don't know how that's going to play out, but and I am concerned here, because what I see happening is that Trump himself is losing control, has lost control to a considerable degree already of his policy as more of these people are named and get traction in their positions. They're pursuing their own interests, and it seems to me Trump cannot stand up to the combination of his DOD nominee, his DOD, his new Secretary of Defense, and others who are cold warriors and in many ways are departing from his what he might view as the direction that he would like to go. So I think that's part of the reality. But on the other hand, I think that the Pentagon is not interested in a war with Iran. And I'll tell you exactly why in just a few words. That is that the Navy in particular is extremely vulnerable. They cannot afford to start a war with Iran because their ships in the Persian Gulf will be the first targets. They will lose some very, very big and expensive ships they will risk losing some very expensive ships if there's a war with Iran, and they know that.
But Gareth, can I just interrupt there and just put a counterpoint to that? What about the Israeli Air Force, which is pretty significant there? That would, you know, that would be a tool that they could use to offset that, maybe.
Well, I mean, the Israelis can conceivably try to trigger a war. I think that the Pentagon in the past has sat on the Israelis and said, no, you're not going to do that. I happen to think that that's still the case in the Trump administration, that the Pentagon, whatever its ambitions are in general to ramp up, the tensions with Russia and even in the future with China as well, that they do not want to have a war over Iran, and I think that they will also insist on sitting on the Israelis on this one.
Got to mention, just before we go, you got to, folks, you got to read Manufactured Crisis, The Untold Story of the Iran Nuclear Scare. Absolutely terrific book, really. You know, when I talk with people like you, Gareth, the tragedy for me, I spent years working in commercial radio, producing and presenting programs nationally and locally. It's a tragedy that when we switch on C-SPAN, CNN and Fox News, we don't get to see guys like you too often, do we? And this is a huge problem, isn't it?
I think it's safe to say you hardly ever, if at all, see anyone with this point of view. You're right, absolutely. And it's a very serious problem.
No, how do you deal with that? I mean, you know, going over your resume, you know, if I'm producing for Fox or for CNN, I'm looking around, I'm thinking, right, look at this guy, Gareth Porter, really, really smart guy. You know, award-winning, you know, serious award-winning investigative journalist, knows his stuff, incredibly charismatic, speaks very well. How do you get past that then? How does a guy like you get past that? Is it through writing your books, Gareth?
If you're asking me how I get past the gatekeepers, I don't know the answer. If I knew the answer, I think I would be able to say that I've been on one of those programs.
You'd make a fortune,
Unfortunately, yeah. I mean, it's a puzzle that I haven't solved yet, I'm sorry to say.
Listen, we enjoyed chatting with you. Thanks so much for your perspective. And be nice to catch up with you again in the future, Gareth. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being on your show.
Brilliant. Gareth Porter on the line to us there. Let me recommend that book again. It really is brilliant. I've read it. Manufactured Crisis, The Untold Story of the Iran Nuclear Scare. It's exactly 11 minutes to the top of the hour. You are with the Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with DavidIke.com, Fab Radio 2, Alternate Current Radio, and TuneIn Radio as well. Right, we'll take some music then. When we come back, it's to your Twitter comments. Keep those tweets coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show. My email is open too. It's richie@richieallen.co.uk. Division on the Richie Allen Show. Love Will Tear Us Apart Again. 7.5 minutes to the top of the hour. The People's Radio Show, the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. Thank you for making it so. Broadcasting live Monday to Thursday, 7 p.m. GMT, Sunday View at 11 a.m. and the television show, it's coming back real soon. The TV show is going to be live on Thursdays. Yeah, we thought we might be doing it by now, but one of those things, the best laid plans of mice and leprechauns, I suppose. Good stuff. Right, a number of you sending me pictures as well over the weekend from various St. Patrick's Day spots and parades. Thank you for that. I didn't imbibe on Friday. Not big into St. Patrick's Day and stuff like that. Not a big deal for me, but I understand the joys of parties and, the joys of a few scoops and a few points of the black stuff. But no, I didn't. There's an Irish centre very close to where I am, not far away from where I am. It's well known. And I'm sure there was re-raw August Rooly-Booly on Friday. Don't ask me to tell you what that means, even though I know. David tweets, they're looking for a perpetual state of war. So much money gained and population reduction to boot. Blood sacrifice to the gods, Jordan Maxwell said to us on this programme once. Fluffles tweets, any war creates revenue, always has. Every soldier wants a new kit out and gun and a false ego, says Fluffles. Keep those tweets coming in. Hi to Hubertus. Hi to Sean, by the way. Richie, Sean says, Richie, the IMF ordered Ireland to chop down its trees to sell the wood to pay off its debts. That's right. It's a Cuilce, isn't it? The Irish forestry sold off to pay the Troika. It's madness, Sean. It's madness, and most people don't know it. Hi to Faisal as well. To follow what other people are saying, go to twitter.com and put Richie Allen Show, all one word, in there, and then press enter, and you can see what other people are tweeting me. If I don't read your tweet out, it's not because I am censoring you. It's because so many of them come in, I lose track of them. In fact, not so long ago, the future Mrs. Allen was sitting in with me on a couple of shows to read the tweets, and she couldn't believe it. How quick they come in and how quick they disappear off the page as well. I'm going to take a very quick break right now. Quick break. When we come back, more. And don't forget, Dr. Rima Labo joins me in hour two.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Looking to arrange a mortgage? Confused by all the deals available? Let Manchester Mortgages do the work for you. Take advantage of our free mortgage review offer throughout February and March and see if we can save you money. We are whole of market brokers with access to hundreds of mortgage schemes across the UK. Call us on 0161 706 0242 or go to manchestermortgages.co.uk. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Manchester Mortgages are a trading style of mortgages for you, North West Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the dots or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they're doing.
Traffic 2. Available now at premillionpictures.co.uk.
Do not invest another pound of your money until you've heard this message. Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my new best-selling book. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk for full details. Inside, I reveal why gold could soar to $10,000 an ounce and how to make sure you own enough of the right type of gold. To get your copy dispatched today, go to newcaseforgold.co.uk now. This book will change everything you think you know about investing in gold. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk today.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Welcome back. 2 minutes to the top of the hour. Good to be with you this Monday. Just to remind you, Gerald Celente joins the program tomorrow, Tuesday, and I'll also be joined by Dana Durnford from British Columbia. Extraordinary man who's blown the whistle on the effects of the Fukushima nuclear disaster on the ocean, on the Pacific Ocean, and on the west coast of the US and Canada. It's one of the biggest scandals that has not been reported by the mainstream media in recent years. The devastation to ocean life, to plant life. It's incredible what's happened there. It's incredible what's happened. And he's going to be on the programme tomorrow. The last time he was on, I think, was back in September last year. Gerald Celente is going to be in Ireland real soon. We're looking forward to talking to him about that and about trends in the news as well. So he joins me tomorrow. It's going to be a busy old week on the programme. Right, so I'm going to take some more music. When we come back from that then, I'll be joined by the amazing Dr. Rima Labo. Okay, you don't want to miss her. In the meantime, here's some Prince.
Do is wrong. Get up.
23 positions in a one-night stand.
Get up.
I'll only call you after if you say I can.
Get up.
Let a woman be a woman and a man be a man.
Get up.
If you want to, baby, here I am.
Here I am. I got the jizz from a friend of yours named Vanessa Bett. She said you told her a fantasy that got her all wet. Little box with a mirror and a tongue inside. What she told me then got me so hot I knew that we could slide. Get up.
23 positions in a one night stand.
Get up.
I'll only call you after if you say I can.
Get up.
Let a woman be a woman and a man be a man.
Get up.
If you want to, baby, here I am.
Here I am. Drinking. Scope this, I was just thinking, you plus me, what a ride. If you was thinking the same, we could continue outside. Lay your pretty body against the parking meter. Strip your dress down like I was stripping a pita. Balls, I'm enjoying. Let me show you, baby, I'm a talented boy.
Everybody grab a body, pump it like you want somebody.
Yeah.
Ribs.
I'm a toy, I don't serve ribs. You better be happy that dress is still on. I heard the rip when you sat down. Honey, them hips is gone, but that's alright, I clock them that way. Mind me of something James used to say. I like them fat, I like them proud. You gotta have a mother for me. Now move your big ass round this way so I can work on that zipper, baby. Tonight, you're a star.
Prince on the Richie Allen Show. It's at 3 minutes past the hour. Welcoming our listeners joining us on alternatecurrentradio.com, Fab Radio 2, and TuneIn Radio. We are broadcasting in association with davidicke.com/headlines. Bookmark it. David in Slovenia yesterday. We'll be in Iceland this coming Saturday. How incredible. What a place to be. And the following week, he's in Croatia, that's right, and that's going to be extraordinary as well. For more details, go to theworldwidewakeup.com and find out more. And if you are in the proximity of the Worldwide Wake Up Tour at any time. If it's coming to a town near you, I can't recommend it highly enough. Alrighty. We're going to say hello to our next guest in a second. Before we do that, though, I was sharing a story on Facebook today. Nicola Harley wrote in yesterday's Sunday Telegraph, a coroner is urging the government to roll out the meningitis B vaccine to all youngsters following the death of a teenage girl just days after contracting the illness. Now, Isabel Gentry was 16, God love her, when she died from meningitis B less than 2 days after medics discharged her from Bristol Royal Infirmary after failing to diagnose it, importantly. Senior coroner for Avon, Maria, Voisin, said there was an underestimation of Izzy's illness and a gross failure in the medical treatment she received, which had contributed to her death. Now, the coroner said she would now be urging for the meningitis B vaccine to be rolled out to Izzy's age group to prevent future deaths. She was 16, and it must be terrible. And I couldn't imagine what her parents are going through or her family, and I wouldn't want in any way to hurt anybody associated with them or anybody who has a child who died from meningitis B. It's not about hurting or offending or insulting the memory of anybody who's passed away. What strikes me, though, as absolutely incredible is that if you're age 16 or under in the United Kingdom, and this is where I cry fact, because I've done my research, you have a 0.00045% chance of dying from meningitis B. You have 4/100,000 of a percentage, 4/100,000 of a percentage of dying having contracted meningitis B. Why is there, and I've said this for at least every 2 or 3 months for the last year and a half, because there is an ongoing and a gathering of momentum here in this country of voices of people who want this meningitis B vaccine to be given to every child in the country. Why? When the chances of getting it are slim, but the chances of dying from it are absolutely astronomical. Why? And reading that story in the Sunday Telegraph yesterday, all I could think of was, why are we not spending more money educating those doctors to better recognise the signs of it? Why are we calling for the rollout of it when the issue seemed to be with this young girl that they failed to diagnose it? That's the big issue here. But they're calling for the rollout of the meningitis B vaccine for every kid. And I want to say that percentage again, because it's true, and you heard it first on the Richie Allen Show. If you're a child aged 16 or under in this country, your odds of dying from meningitis B are 0.000456 of a percent. That is 4/100,000 of 1%. Staggering stuff. Our next guest is a wonderful, wonderful woman. She's been on my programmes going back a number of years now. She is the medical director of the Natural Solutions Foundation. And we're going to, as we speak, tweet out links to where you can find her and her websites. But you know all about her already. The Natural Solutions Foundation does absolutely incredible and vital work in educating people how to wean themselves away from big pharmaceutical medicine and to help themselves naturally. And the results and the success that the Natural Solutions Foundation has had for some years now is a testimony to their genius. It's not been a great time for her of late, because her soulmate and her life partner, General Albert Stubblebine, passed away. He was on this programme about a year ago. Wonderful man. Let's welcome to the programme. Let's welcome back our great friend, Dr. Rima Label. Rima, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Richie. I love being on your show, and I appreciate your kind words so much.
You know, it was I'm going to get it out of the way, but I want to talk for a couple of minutes about Bert. I first came across Bert on documentaries that were made by people like John Ronson and others about the incredible work that he was doing when he was a military man, and I was fascinated by him. I always wanted to interview him, and you made that happen just over a year or so ago. I didn't really get to know him at all, apart from talking to him. A remarkable guy. Our deepest sympathies are completely and utterly sincere. And maybe you'd like to say a word or two about him before we chat.
I sure would. What killed Bert on his birthday, excuse me if I choke up, he was indeed my soulmate. What killed Bert was not kidney disease. It was not heart disease. It was not any other kind of disease or condition. What killed General Bert and what is killing so many of us by design was lack of informed consent. Had he, and I'm a physician with almost 50 years of experience in this, had he been able to receive the vitamin C intravenously that he needed when he was admitted to the hospital in a state of collapse, that his doctor wanted him to have and that I wanted him to have, he would have left the hospital in 3 to 4 weeks and he would have been fine. But vitamin C is not in the formulary of any hospital in the United States that I know of. Vitamin C is not to be given because it works, because it cures people, because it evokes the body's own healing mechanism. Now, the issue is not vitamin C. And after 6 months of my hand-to-hand combat protecting him from the medical system that was determined to kill him because he was expensive, being age 86, and thus slated for cost containment, that's called death. After 6 months of hand-to-hand combat, I finally got vitamin C in him, and the turnaround was spectacular, except that the weekend came up, and we don't do much on the weekend, and therefore, on Sunday night, he died from the lack of the treatment that he wanted and that I wanted as his power of attorney for him. That's not a unique circumstance. People are turned off to save money. Oh, let mom die. You should remember her the way she was. We'll just suppress her breathing with morphine and withhold food and water. It's such a kind, gentle death. It's a cost-saving maneuver. People are forced into vaccination to destroy their immune systems, and they are not permitted to have the treatments that they themselves want or the free flow of information about what they might choose to want, because the globalist hegemony over our bodies proceeds through medical tyranny unless we do something about it. The Natural Solutions Foundation, which General Bert and I founded in 2004, is about health freedom. Either your health freedom is intact and you own your own body, or you are a slave and somebody else owns your body. And in this case, the slave owners are known collectively as globalists, and they want you dead. So what are you going to do about it? I urge you to go to the website, drrimatruthreports.com. That's D-R-R-I-M-A, truthreports.com. Enter your email there, and you'll receive as our thank you gift an extraordinary book written by General Bert, obviously written before he died. I would love it if he could continue writing, but I'm not sure quite how we arranged that.
Yeah.
And you will be on our email list, and we'll send you information about things we think are vitally important to you, no matter what country you live in and no matter what your particular issues are. Let's face it, they want you dead, and they want control of your body before they bring that about.
If you don't want
that, you have to do something about it.
You have to do something. It's something that comes up on this program. You take General Bert, and then we'll talk about the meningitis B. But you take General Bert, and there's the guy who served his country. There's the guy, and I don't mean to be disrespectful by saying a guy. He was a man. He was a great man who served his country, who served people, who paid his dues. And ultimately, when you get to a certain age, in their eyes, you become a useless eater, don't you, Rima?
You're a useless eater long before that. When you stop being a useful idiot serving their agenda, you're a useless eater. When you try to live your own life in peace and harmony and tranquility, you're a useless eater if they don't have a particular need for you. You're a useless eater whether you're serving them or not. Useless eater was a term of art in Germany in the 20s, and it was taken up and continued in this country and in your country and in the other globalist-controlled countries. Make no mistake, my friends, you are useless eaters once you finish serving the agenda of the moment of the globalists, to whom you are really no more than cockroaches. We have a different view of ourselves, and our view must prevail, mustn't it, Richie?
Absolutely right. I've retweeted your website, drrimatruthreports.com. It's out there, and we'll tweet it several more times during the conversation. No, it's an honour. It's the very least we can do. I endorse it because it's fantastic. It's been very useful for me over the years, I can tell you. Right. And the best of luck to General Bert on his onward journey. And he left a fantastic legacy behind him here in this life. And if somebody's listening to this and they don't know too much about General Bert, I'll tweet out some videos and some information later on. YouTube videos, presentations given by the general, interviews he's done. Remarkable man. We have this agenda, Rima, that every 2 to 3 months, we hear a tragic story, and the stories are true, they're not invented, of a youngster dying from meningitis B, and your heart and your soul goes out to the parents who had to put up with that. It's a dreadful thing. And we get these constant news reports about why every child in the country should get this vaccine added to their schedule. We hear this argument about it's too expensive and all this nonsense, and it's a big steamroller thing going on here. I calculated, not today but recently, you've basically got a zero chance. Now, of course, you've got a chance, but it's 4/100,000 of a percentage. That's your chance of dying from meningitis B if you're age 16 and under. It's frightening to me that when all the news networks and all the newspapers roll behind something like that, nobody stops to talk about, well, what are the actual odds of you getting meningitis B, dreadful as it is. What struck me about this story over the weekend was, it seemed, Rima, and this goes back to what the knowledge that doctors don't have, young men and women who don't have the sort of knowledge you have, it seems the big problem with this 16-year-old girl in Bristol in the UK was that the doctors failed to diagnose she had meningitis B. And we're not talking about spending money on helping doctors better recognise meningitis and deal with it from there. We're ignoring that aspect, and we're talking about giving the vaccine to every child in the country. Over to you.
Well, let's start with the fact that vaccines are probably the most significant fraud ever perpetrated on humanity. There is not one single vaccine that is safe. There is not one single vaccine that is effective. But what about smallpox and polio? They changed the names. So smallpox disappeared overnight. It became monkeypox, and polio became non-polio acute flaccid paralysis. So of course there's no more polio. It can't be diagnosed any longer. And of course there's no more smallpox. It can't be diagnosed any longer. Now, if you want some scientific substantiation for this and what I'm about to say in picking up on your excellent introduction to this just now, Richie, please go to another website, which is tinyurl.com/Dr. Rima India Paper, D-R-R-I-M-A, India Paper. And there you will see a paper that I delivered by invitation at Netty University in Mangalore 2 years ago, this past February, in which, as it happens, I also talk about the meningitis vaccine and the fact that it not only makes no sense, it causes meningitis just as the polio vaccine causes. According to the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Creation of the United States government, it the cause of polio cases is polio vaccination. Viral diseases are spread by the vaccines. That's why we didn't have a swine flu pandemic in 2009, because everybody stayed away in droves all over the world from the swine flu vaccine.
That's right.
And so bacterial diseases are changed in their characteristics, and they too become more lethal as pertussis has become more lethal. In South Korea, and I'll get to meningitis in a minute, Richie, in South Korea, the rate of mortality from pertussis, once the population was 99.4% vaccinated, went from virtually unknown to 1,300 times greater. Vaccination damages the immune system. Vaccination provides no protection against anything, and vaccination assures a downstream market of cancer, of neurological disorders like autism, of Alzheimer's. You cannot cure, prevent, or protect against anything by injecting pus and poison past the two primary immune defenses, the skin and the lungs. It's just insane, but it's clever like a fox insane, because it builds the pharmaceutical market in a tremendous way, shortens lives, and allows the hegemony of the globalists over our bodies, which is why there are more and more and more and more vaccine programs and vaccine pushes and so on. So please go to tinyurl.com/Dr. Rima India Paper and read my paper. There's also other information on that page, but read my paper.
Yeah, I've tweeted and that. I've just tweeted that.
If you don't agree with me, go vaccinate yourself. Go vaccinate your children. But for God's sakes, quarantine yourselves until you stop shedding infective particles, like one poor fellow in the UK who is still 31 years after being vaccinated against polio, shedding infective particles. Now, the meningitis, the issue is, as you say, that the risks are ridiculously low. And instead of vaccinating anybody, everybody should be taking NanoSilver daily on a proactive, prophylactic basis. And if you happen to start to get sick with something, up it. It's totally non-toxic. The FDA in the United States prevents us from saying it's an antibiotic, because otherwise that would turn it into an unapproved drug, and it would be a criminal act on my part to promote or manufacture or sell an unapproved drug. So I wouldn't do that. It's not an antibiotic, but it certainly does support the immune system, and anybody who has any suspected anything ought to take more of it than they're taking on a daily basis, because it's totally non-toxic for every single human being, whether they're pregnant, whether they're a baby, whether they're a 96-year-old granny with cancer and diabetes. But these things are things we're not supposed to know about and think about. We're supposed to march to the deadly drumbeat of the pharmaceutical depopulationists.
It's brilliant to have you back on the program, Rima. What we're talking about here is then, if they roll out this vaccine to every child in the country, you're going to be introducing the meningitis pathogen, the bacterium, into areas where it didn't previously exist. Am I right in saying that? You're the doctor.
Not only that, yeah. Richie, you're 100% right. But what else are they going to be introducing? Here in the United States, the fact is, and most people are not aware of this, that every company that is licensed to deploy vaccines in the United States has a contract with the Department of Defense dating back to 2011, in which they are required to dispense nanobots, nanochips, in the vaccines. Now, that's not on the label, oddly enough. But then why would you trust what is on the label? In fact, thimerosal or mercury-free vaccines actually have mercury in them, because under the regulations in the United States, and they're followed generally around the world, only those things which are put in as ingredients are listed on the label. If right. something is used in processing, it's not on the label. Like, for instance, thimerosal. So there is no such thing as a mercury-free vaccine. Doesn't exist.
Now this, I don't want to be bringing up General Baird. I don't want you to go upset. But at the same time,
okay.
General Baird had a lot of sources, didn't he? I mean, he was a very important man. I mean, he ascended to, you know, pretty much about the highest rank you can get to. Not the highest, but close enough to it. And I remember reading on the Dr. Rima TruthReports.com site, didn't Baird have some information from some trusted sources that they were going to be putting nanotechnology into these vaccines? Am I right in saying that he had this information, didn't he?
Well, let me correct just one thing that yeah. you said. It's not that they were going to be putting
they're
it
doing
in.
It.
It's that they had
they're doing
been
it, right.
putting it in. This is a reality. If you present your body or your baby's body or your pregnant body with your baby in it, which is a really big mistake, to a vaccine needle, you are saying put any damn garbage
anything
you
want
yeah. into me, and the consequences downstream will never be known because there's no tracking. But the reality is you will be tracked. They are nanochipping vaccines. They are, but even without the nanochips, even without the emitters and controllers of nanochips and self-assembling robots and so on, which are all very real. They may sound like science fiction, but they've been a reality for quite some time now. Even without that, just the contents of the vaccines are horrifyingly damaging. And oh, by the way, HPV, human papillomavirus, has never, ever, ever, ever been shown to cause a single cancer. It is a normal component of the flora of the human body. It comes and it goes. 99% of the cases resolve in 2 years on their own. The additional 1% resolves in another year. And in fact, it tunes the immune system just as measles does. When children acquire measles in the community, they get measles, they get spotty, they get feverish for 3 days, and then they go back to school and everything's fine. They have fewer cases of cancer in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, cancer of every organ, because it tunes the immune system. We need immune challenges, and vaccines, among other things, vitiate the immune challenges and poison our immune systems so that those challenges that we meet don't get met well, and also introduce stealth viruses like SV40, which single-handedly accounted for the worldwide epidemic of childhood leukemia and the epidemic of breast cancer and the epidemic of prostate cancer and the epidemic of brain cancer, in which that virus is found. Where did it come from? The polio vaccines that the CDC knew perfectly well was contaminated with this cancer-causing virus. But as they say on their website, this is their words, in order not to impose an economic burden on the manufacturers, they did not require it to be filtered out with a single pass filtration. The economic burden, Richie, would have amounted to less than 5 cents per dose.
5 cents per dose. 5 cents per dose. And I want to go back to something. I want to go back to this nanotechnology, because this is serious stuff, you know, and I get accused of mentioning this all the time, like I'm bragging. I'm not bragging. We go out on mainstream radio. We go out to a mainstream audience. So when we hear Rima say stuff like that, we're like, all right, we understand it because we've read the research. But a lot of our listeners haven't. And what Rima was talking about there, about nanotechnology, robots working at cellular level in the body for whatever reason, you know, for whatever illness or problem you might have. This is real stuff, this. And I always think, Rima, and I think when General Baird was on the programme, I think one of the things we talked about was when technology is mentioned on the evening news as something that's new and exciting, you can believe that it's been around quite a few years. You know, if they're telling you today, oh, this is brand new and it's exciting and it might help with this and it might help with that, the truth is probably they've had it a long time. And you're,
of course.
And they've had a long time. And you're saying that you believe, and I believe you're right, by the way. I'm not challenging this. But some of our listeners will be like, this can't be happening. Within these vaccines, we're being experimented on without realising it. They're, this nanotechnology stuff is in there and it's invading. It's doing stuff inside our bodies that we're not aware of. And if we even talk about this, mainstream people shout, you crazy lunatic conspiracy theorists, yet the technology is there. What sort of things are they doing to children and to us with this nanotechnology? Is it spying on us? Is it altering our cellular state? What is it doing, Rima?
All of the above.
Anything you can think of.
There are multiple agendas. And I want to make the point that autism is not genetic. Autism is environmental. You mess up the nervous system with a combination of things that open up the blood-brain barrier, and then you push poisons like aluminum and mercury and glyphosate, Roundup. And by the way, every sample that was recently tested from Russia, France, China, the United States, the UK, Canada, and a whole bunch of other countries, every vaccine sample that was tested, except one animal vaccine, had Roundup in it, Monsanto's glyphosate. And the only way it could be there is if someone took a vial and went glug, 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 and poured it into the vats or mixes. Poisons are being intentionally added because we are slated, read Agenda 21, read Agenda 2030, we are slated for population reduction, and we are slated to be part of the pyramid that was described to me in 2002 by a head of state, and we've talked about this, Richie, when she talked about the Great Culling, which was about to begin, in which there would be the neo-aristocrats at the top, there would be their servants and servitors around them. That was the word she used, servitors. I'd never heard a living human being use that word before. And around them, their technicians. Now, according to Lord Friend of the British House of Lords, in his statement, the ideal worker is the autistic worker because he can be paid at pennies on the pound as a disabled worker. He doesn't have the social skills to combine with others to make unions or protest anything. He loves repetition and routine. He's likely to be infertile, and he's replaceable with others, so he's interchangeable. Read the first three chapters of Brave New World, and you will see what is being done with the vaccines, which are being fine-tuned to produce more and more high-functioning autistic technician workers. That is part of the game plan. So what are they doing to us? Leave out the nanotechnology altogether and just ask why aluminum is being injected into us, mercury, why formaldehyde, why polysorbate 80, an infertility agent, why vaccines that contain foreign DNA and fetal aborted cell DNA and human cancer cell DNA, why that's being injected into us along with horribly toxic things like fluoride and monosodium glutamate. Why? So it should taste good? No, because it's a neurotransmitter that excites and wears out parts of the brain that are involved in discrimination and learning. This is not science fiction. I wish to God it were. I grew up reading science fiction. I cut my teeth on Robert Heinlein and Isaac Asimov and Ursula Le Guin, and that was wonderful. This is not wonderful. This is a hideous reality that is exposed to us in tiny little blips and pieces as if we are too stupid to figure it out. You figure it out. I figure it out. But everyone can figure it out. Make up your own mind. Read my vaccine paper. And if it doesn't make sense to you, write to me and tell me why. Absolutely. If it does make sense to you, then get yourself an advanced vaccine directive card, which is available on our website, which gives you the way, the appropriate way to access your internationally and nationally protected right to refuse any and all medical interventions. It's called informed consent. And that card will protect you in any one of the 126 countries which have signed and ratified the Geneva Convention. Your country is one of those countries. If you're listening to Richie's program, you're probably in a Geneva Convention country.
Need
that card to be able to say, no, I refuse all vaccines and you cannot penalize me in any way. And that includes Australia, no pay, no jab, no play, no jab, you know, all that nonsense. You are protected if you assert your right to that protection.
It's incredible the amount of, whenever we speak with you or another expert on this subject, the hostility and the venom with which people attack people on social media. And I look into the backgrounds of some of these people. They're not all pharmaceutical plants, or they're not all system plants. People are that completely confused, and they're completely overwhelmed by their exposure to mainstream media news
and
sources.
And propagandized.
That's right, 100%. I want to just mention two things. You mentioned infertility there. I'm glad you brought that up. That there's an epidemic of that in Western countries, an absolute epidemic of that. And the second thing I want to mention is, you mentioned glyphosate. Now, some of our listeners might be aware, some of them might not be, but the several European countries last year said that glyphosate is probably carcinogenic. Now, it isn't probably. It is carcinogenic. And this is a great thing. Now, it was announced only a few days ago, in fact, last week, that the European Union has put its foot down and said no, even though glyphosate had been linked to cancer, it's absolutely safe. And apparently, massive lawsuits were threatened against anybody who was asking questions about the toxicity of Roundup, of glyphosate. And those have caused people to back down. And now the official line is, don't worry about it. Glyphosate is safe. All that stuff last year, forget all about it. It's tyrannical, Rima, isn't it? It is tyrannical. We know,
you know,
that glyphosate
there has never been a modern medical, a modern tyrannical state that did not use the medical profession, the scientific profession, the whoring, lying, distortion part of the profession to bolster its tyranny. We are in that medical tyranny reality. And those who back down should be ashamed of themselves. Those who stand up and continue to raise the questions publicly, as you do, should take great pride in their own integrity, because there are fewer of us than there should be. But the more of us that there are, the more courage we give to other people to say, wait, I will protect my body, I will protect my freedom, I will protect my family, and I will continue to say no. And to say the three most important words of an activist in any area, which are, don't you dare.
Absolutely.
Because each voice is inaudible. When we band together and we have millions of voices, those bastards step back every single time. They turn out to be very weak, very fragile, and not in control. The propaganda makes us feel tiny and inadequate and powerless, but the reality is exactly the flip of that. And there's a lesson in that, Richie, as you well know.
Well, do you know what, Rima?
That they say, the reality is the flip of it.
I certainly don't know, not like you. All I do is report and speak to learned men and women like you. I don't do anything. But thanks for saying that. It's people like you. Do you know what the big problem we have here in the United Kingdom? And you're aware of this. There is an agenda here to take children away from parents.
Absolutely.
Right? And one of the things that we're hearing reports on this programme, and I don't, one of the things we don't do here is we don't invent news or we don't invent things. I get calls from parents occasionally, not all the time, but occasionally. And most of the time, they're struggling to make ends meet, but they are making ends meet, but just about. Their families in, let's say, the lower economic bracket, they're not doing very well. And they have trouble with social services. And one of the things some of these parents who are awake to what's going on, they say that when they mention to their own family doctors, their local doctor, their National Health Service doctor, well, look, I don't want Maisie or I don't want Mark or Tommy to have a vaccine for whatever, whichever vaccine schedule they're on. The doctors start to get angry, and not only that, they start to bring up social services. In other words, Rima, we might report that because that's just conspiracy theory nonsense. And this is a big problem for people. They're worried about losing their children because of their anti-vaccine stance. What do you say to parents like that? What can they do? They can't do anything, can they?
Get an advanced vaccine directive card for each child. Follow the detailed instructions that we give on exactly how to use it and how to make sure that it's recorded in the child's medical records and school records. And you need it for yourself, with your employer, with your environment as well. And stand up when they come at you or your child with the vaccine needle and the social services needle. Then you need to say, this is my internationally guaranteed right. Now, people have to understand the following very important fact, Richie. You understand this, and you and I have talked about this before on air. International treaty law supersedes, you should excuse the expression, trumps national law.
Yeah.
No matter what the nation is, whether it's the UK or whether it's India or the United States, it doesn't make a difference. When a country ratifies an international treaty, the law of that treaty becomes the law of that land. And the law of the international treaty called the Geneva Convention makes it absolutely abundantly clear that no one can be punished in any way for exercising informed consent. There can be no punishment, no pressure, no overreach, no financial pressure, no imprisonment, nothing. Now, Britain has been doing this for quite a while. When Edward Jenner brought forward his completely fallacious and felonious and criminal smallpox vaccination nonsense, and he published the results of his, quote, experiments before he did the experiments. He killed his own son. He killed his experimental subject after his son died with the smallpox vaccine. But he killed lots of other people. And what they were doing was dipping needles into the supposed sores of milkmaids who had cowpox.
Right, yeah.
And that prevented people from getting smallpox. There's a problem. There's no such thing as cowpox. Those people had stage 2 syphilis. And so babies were being inoculated with active syphilitic organisms, and they were dying. Healthy babies were dying of syphilis in large numbers, and parents caught wind of this, as we catch wind of the autism issue, and they said, no, we're not going to do that. So Britain passed laws saying, well, if you don't, you'll go to debtor's prison, you'll be your children will be taken away from you. And finally, because of public uproar, the parliament had to do a 2-year blue ribbon study. And at the end of that 2-year blue ribbon study, they said, well, son of a gun, look at that. It doesn't work. We're killing babies. Uh-oh, we have a problem. We can either sweep this under the rug and pretend we never had these findings, or we can fess up to the British public that we kind of made a mistake and we've been killing their kids and we'll stop doing it. Well, politicians are politicians, and politicians in 1850s were the same as politicians now. So they swept it under the rug, and they increased Edward Jenner's lifetime stipend from £10,000 sterling a year, an incredible amount of
fortune
money. £20,000 sterling a year, and they increased the penalties for not vaccinating your children. This is an ongoing deception. We have the internet. They didn't. And we need to band together and to share this information and to make it clear that we will not tolerate having our right of informed consent violated. Poor parents, rich parents, educated parents, uneducated parents, we all have the right of informed consent. We have it for our own bodies and for our children. But if we cower and bow down and sacrifice our children's bodies to our own cowardice, we're not gaining any ground for them or for ourselves. And if it's not just children, Richie, the adult vaccination mandates are on their way.
Oh, they are.
The Global Health Security Initiative.
That's right. You can't work in this school or you can't work in this building. You're absolutely right to bring that up. We talk all the time about children.
But you can if you have an advanced vaccine directive and you use it the way we detail the easy steps that you must use. Now, the government knows this. The individual useful idiot who may be saying, but you have to be vaccinated, may not know it, but the lawyers know it. Say, please, bring your lawyer. If they vaccinate you, they are guilty of personal assault and battery, and you wind up both a vaccinated person, and when you sue them and take them to court, a very wealthy one.
Rima, thanks for coming back on. It's been terrific catching up with you. I know it's been a rough time for you, and it continues to be so. Folks, go to drrematruthreports.com, bookmark it, follow her on Twitter as well. I'll tweet out the details shortly. Rima, I look forward to chatting with you again real soon.
Indeed, Richie. Thank you so much. A pleasure as always.
It was an honor. Look after yourself. Talk real soon. The terrific Dr. Rima Labo, MD, on the line to us there. DrRimaTruthReports.com, a terrific lady and vital information. I wasn't going to split hairs with Rima over the difficulties that some families might face when they tell their doctor, look, I'm not vaccinating my children. And that doctor might make a phone call to the local authorities who might send a social worker to ask questions. There might be an argument then between the social worker and the parent who says, well, I don't want to vaccinate my child. And one of the things that has happened, and it will happen more and more, is that social worker will then go to a family court judge in absolute secrecy, and say that they believe the parent is putting their child or their children at risk, at serious risk, because of their beliefs, because of their conspiracy theory books or their conspiracy theory DVDs or whatever it is. And then in secrecy, that family court judge can order the removal of that child from that household. This happens. This is not, you know what, I actually do. Somebody said to me recently, a very angry, a very hateful person who I used to know on social media really only, was at this, how can guys like you, how can you look yourselves in the mirror talking this bullshit all the time, telling these fantasy stories? And they got shortchanged. They got short shrift from me, I don't mind telling you. But I do sometimes, you know, when I think about this stuff and I think about the fact that that scenario I just described there is a very real and a very valid scenario. It's going on. And when Rima talks about nanotechnology and that being injected into the body, and when David talks about transphantomism and how this is all part of an agenda to bring about a kind of a post-human world where there's very little humanity left, where we become so merged with technology that humanity disappears completely. It's absolutely going on. And it's not just the vaccines, of course. It's our exposure to geoengineering. It's our exposure to Wi-Fi technology. You're surrounded by it. What does David call it? What does he call it? He calls it a something cage. It's like, I was only reading on DavidIke.com recently. It's this, you're surrounded by this constant assault on the body. And yet the vast, vast, vast majority of people that you interact with on a daily basis, that you work with, that you share a bus or a train with, they are completely oblivious to it. And when exposed to just a fraction of it, they're, and you're not going to like this, by the way, dear listener, their understandable reaction is, that's fucking mad. Fuck off, will you? Crazy shit, that. Conspiracy. Why would they do that? Why? Why would they do that? Why? You know? It's 11 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, more. This is your Richie Allen Show. And it's broadcasting on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, Alternate Current Radio, and TuneIn Radio for Monday, March 20th, 2017.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Looking to arrange a mortgage? Confused by all the deals available? Let Manchester Mortgages do the work for you. Take advantage of our free mortgage review offer throughout February and March and see if we can save you money. We are whole of market brokers with access to hundreds of mortgage schemes across the UK. Call us on 0161 706 0242 or go to manchestermortgages.co.uk. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Manchester Mortgages are a trading style of mortgages for you, North West Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the doctors or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they do.
Traffic 2. Available now at premiumonpictures.co.uk.
Do not invest another pound of your money until you've heard this message. Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my new best-selling book. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk for full details. Inside, I reveal why gold could soar to $10,000 an ounce and how to make sure you own enough of the right type of gold. To get your copy dispatched today, go to newcaseforgold.co.uk now. This book will change everything you think you know about investing in gold. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk today.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
You know, I can't recommend Phantom Self, David's book from last year. I can't recommend it enough. And the chapter, Transphantomism, should win a Nobel Prize on its own. I mean, it really should. There is nothing like it ever been written before. It's cutting edge stuff on, you know, I can't find the words to describe it. How he details how our brains are being rewired every second of the day through exposure to the technology that we've talked about, smart technology, through vaccines, through geoengineering, through the development of things that David talks about that get no mention at all in the mainstream media, apart from kind of and finally story, you know, at the very end of the news. And finally, and you get a little mention of a story that's massive for humanity, massive, massive, but it gets like a 15 second one liner, you know, neural dust, for example, neural dust. I'm flicking through it here. Berkeley University developing neural dust to infiltrate the brain. Right, they say there are medical benefits to doing this, but it's all about monitoring and manipulating the way we think. Neural dust. madness. You know, the singularity, artificial intelligence, all this stuff. And it's happening, and it's only on programs like this, and increasingly. And I know you're going to say again, these guys, they big themselves up on programs like this. They big them. We don't big ourselves up. Sadly, increasingly, alternative media programs are focusing on supporting Donald Trump and becoming mainstream light. And they're not talking about this stuff. They're not talking about it. They won't touch it. Which is why we use terms like mainstream light. They don't want to touch it. Oh, it might embarrass me. I might lose listeners or viewers. I might lose advertisers. So I can't talk about this stuff. This is way, way, way beyond. You know. But it's going on. DARPA. Most people haven't a clue. They never heard of DARPA. Who they are. The revolving door reality of between DARPA and Google. You know, the sorts of technologies they're working on. And like Remus said, the things they tell you are imminent are things that have probably been around for a long time. So neural dust, Jesus Christ, from Berkeley University, has probably been around for years. It's probably dispersed in the atmosphere through geoengineering. Probably. I can't prove it. But probably. And it gets an and finally in the news. And finally, Berkeley scientists have invented neural dust. Smart dust. Where's your consent in that? Anyway. Great woman, Dr. Rima Labo. That was it. Or that is it for Monday's programme. Thanks to Simon Stewart for the work on YouTube. Simon, I hope you're a bit better. He's had a bad few days, Simon, with a stomach bug. I hope he's feeling a bit better today. And to Aaron for the work on the website. The programme was produced, edited and introduced by me, Richie Allen. I will speak with you tomorrow at the same time as he suppresses a bit of a burp there. A lot of wind today. I'll be with you at the same time tomorrow at 7 p.m. GMT. Gerald Salente and Dana Durnford join the programme. Until then, look after yourselves and one another and enjoy the rest of your Monday. And thanks so much for listening to this program. I really appreciate it. Leaving you with Ocean's Drive from the Lighthouse family. Bye for now. You know.